when we're talking about equanimity in a spiritual practice context, we are talking about learning how to bring our attention to a place that's always aware of the inherent fullness of things, even when things don't seem so great, so full, maybe when things seem empty or torn apart or fragmented, we are still aware of the wholeness, at the essence of things. And that makes us very stable and steady, because we are living from the essence, even as we navigate all the chaos of this world.
Welcome to Meditation Changes Everything with spiritual teacher Craig Hamilton, a podcast exploring the deeper potentials of meditation practice and how it can change every aspect of human life. In this episode, Craig explores the spiritual capacity known as equanimity, the ability to remain centered and grounded no matter what challenges life brings our way. One of the most tangible benefits of meditation is the steadiness it can bring to our life. When we learn how to access equanimity in meditation, we suddenly find we can remain centered, non-reactive, and present no matter what happens to us, even when we feel triggered by events in the world. This enlightened capacity gives us the ability to navigate life's challenges with wisdom, compassion, and strength. But where does this extraordinary capacity come from? In this episode, Craig challenges many common assumptions about equanimity and shares three different ways we can access this profound capacity, inviting you to step directly into the unshakable core of who you already are. Thank you for tuning in. Here's Craig.
Equanimity, the way I'm referring to it, I'm really referring to this quality that most of us find very admirable and desirable in the people who have it, which is this ability to be very steady in the face of whatever life throws our way, the ability to remain centered, the ability to remain present, the ability to keep things in perspective in the face of really just, let's say, in the face of intensity of any kind. Because when do we lose perspective? When things are going bad, we're having a hard time, it's difficult, it's challenging. Very often that blows up and becomes the whole world, and we are no longer seeing things in context. We're no longer seeing it in perspective. Or when things go really, really well, some incredible windfall, some incredible opportunity, or, you know, an extremely positive emotional experience like falling in love. People often kind of lose perspective when they fall in love. I don't have anything against falling in love here, but it's the point is, you know, this is the human condition we're all navigating, and moments of intensity in any direction, moments of great change in any direction, always have a tendency to kind of put us in a more reactive, maybe more impulsive, maybe more compulsive, maybe more just not centered, stable, focused, present, conscious, kind of lose consciousness a little bit in the face of volatility, let's say. And that can be external volatility, external events that are chaotic or disruptive in any direction. It can also just be powerful feelings that sometimes we don't even know where they're coming from. Sometimes we wake up and we're just feeling not so great on a given day. And we're maybe some of us feel there's a lot going on in the world, right? And a lot going on, a lot of ways it's impacting our lives and our lives of those we love. And that can just, create sort of a tensions and anxieties of unclear origin. How about that? Things, we just don't know why. We just feel disturbed today, or things feel out of sorts today. And so I'm saying, in the face of external chaos and upheaval, but also internal, we're having internal upheaval. Sometimes we know why, sometimes we don't, but having strong feelings, again, makes it harder to stay clear, present, seeing things in perspective, steady, able to make good decisions. At the end of the day, able to have positive, healthy responses to life and make good decisions in the face of what life brings our way. That's all gets challenged by the inner and outer vicissitudes of living. So this quality of equanimity is the ability to stay steady, present, grounded in an accurate context or perspective, even just to, so you could say, to stay in a positive orientation to life when things get difficult. That can be very hard. You may have had a very positive orientation, but then some big challenge comes and suddenly life doesn't look so positive anymore. Seems like life has gone bad just because we're having a hard day. When we first think about how we could be that way, how could I be more equanimous? How could I be more steady? It's kind of like the first place the easiest place to see where we could go in ourselves that would give us that is to a place of kind of not caring very much about what happens. If I don't really care, if I let go of caring about what's happening in this world, if I detach myself from it or become indifferent to it, it's not going to disturb me very much, right? Why would I be disturbed? I don't care what happens. I don't care if the world goes to hell in a handbasket. Okay, then I'm going to seem to be very equanimous when the world is going, really having a hard time. And similarly, if I kind of stopped caring that much about what happened in my own life, it doesn't matter to me. I'll just take it, whatever comes. I don't have an agenda. I don't have any way I think things need to be. Again, seems like it could bring us equanimity and would. So I would call that sort of maybe superficial equanimity or conventional equanimity, the kind that comes from indifference or not caring what happens. But the distinction I'm trying to make is between that and what I'm calling profound equanimity. And by profound equanimity, I'm referring to the equanimity of spiritual awakening, of enlightened consciousness. And see, that equanimity comes from a very different place. Spiritual equanimity, profound equanimity, is not a result of not caring so much about what happens in this world or not caring so much about what happens to me or anyone else. It comes from the discovery and recognition that there is something much deeper and more profound and ultimately sacred going on here at the essence of things. And as I discover that and begin to anchor my life in that, I become rooted in this depth. I'm rooted in an inherent positivity, an inherent fullness, an inherent love that isn't, it's not caused by things in this world, so it doesn't get taken away by things that happen in this world. It's transcendent. When we're talking about equanimity in a spiritual practice context, we are talking about learning how to bring our attention to a place that's always aware of the inherent fullness of things, even when things don't seem so great, so full, maybe when things seem empty or torn apart or fragmented, we are still aware of the wholeness at the essence of things. And that makes us very stable and steady. because we are living from the essence, even as we navigate all the chaos of this world. So to bring that down to earth just a little bit more, let's just talk about contentment. We tend to imagine that equanimity means we feel peaceful or we feel content. When you meet someone who shows up with a lot of equanimity and this kind of steady, unflappable, unshakable presence and conviction in the goodness of things, even when things are going badly, and ability to respond with clarity and strength and conviction, no matter what's happening. When we encounter that, we imagine, oh, this person seems very peaceful. They seem very calm and centered and at peace and at ease. They must feel very peaceful. And so we try to do this ourselves. I have to feel peaceful. I have to feel content. But equanimity is not about feeling content. It's about being content no matter what you're feeling. Being at ease, whether you feel easeful or not. So just sit in that for a moment. Because we all have access to this. This is part of our true nature, our natural state that I'm pointing to. Just rest in the part of yourself that is at peace, whether or not you feel peaceful one moment to the next. The part that is deeply at ease, the part that trusts in the flow of this life process and our ability to respond with whatever life needs from us. Another metaphor we use when working with equanimity is the metaphor of spaciousness, of inner spaciousness. Now, you know, in life, when we're losing perspective or struggling, you know, often someone might say, oh, you know, take some time away from that, get some space around it. You need to get some space around that so that you can see it more clearly. You're too close to it. You know, you're too in it. You got to get some space. You got to step back. So what is that metaphor? What are we really referring to here? We're talking about, you know, we all have a sense that space brings perspective, that space, whatever we mean by this metaphor of space, because we're not talking about actual space, it's inner internal space, but that space really helps us stay in a clear, conscious relationship to things. And so to take this metaphor a little further, we're one of the things in a spiritual sense, when we invoke a metaphor like spaciousness, one of the things we're really talking about is consciousness itself. Inner space, meaning the inner space of your consciousness, of your awareness. If you look at it, if you begin to explore it, what you find is that consciousness is infinite. That your consciousness, that the consciousness, the subjectivity, the awareness that you are right now, that's hearing me say these words. You know, you may have been taught that it's some little thing inside your head, but if you start to explore consciousness experientially in your own experience through spiritual practice, gradually you find, oh, or maybe suddenly you find, oh, there's not a place where consciousness ends. And ultimately you find there's not a place where it's located either. And you can do that simply by noticing that, let's say you think, oh, consciousness is in my head. It's right in the middle of my head. Well, bring your awareness to the middle of your head. become aware of your head, of the feeling of your head. You know, you can touch your head and, oh, there's my head. So if you can become aware of your head, where is the awareness that's aware of your head? In your experientially. It's not really in your head. It's something bigger that contains your head. Similar, your body. Oh, I'm aware through my body, my senses. Okay, become aware of your body. You can become aware of your body, your head, all your sense phenomena. Where's the awareness that's aware of it? Become aware of the room around you, or the space around you, and the things in the room. And notice that awareness includes all those things now that you've brought awareness to it. Awareness includes this whole room you're in. Awareness is everywhere in the room. As you're aware of it, if you notice an object over on the other side of the room now, and just look over at something. Notice that your awareness is now over there, including that. I'm not making a scientific proposition here. I'm making an experiential observation. And through meditation practice, by meditating on consciousness itself, we become aware of this vast, ultimately infinite subject that we are. We are this consciousness that isn't located anywhere, and it doesn't have a beginning and an end. It doesn't have a boundary. Certainly not one that we can locate. Now what does that have to do with equanimity? Because when you discover infinity in your own being, your own consciousness, you realize that infinity, that expansiveness is not impacted by what arises within it. So awakened consciousness or enlightened consciousness is simply consciousness that's aware of itself. It's when you become conscious of your own consciousness. You start to observe and be aware of this consciousness that you are, this presence that's not located anywhere. Not boundaried, this infinite space that is your consciousness. When you begin to identify with that, when you begin to become rooted in that, in other words, your identity starts to shift to this vast, non-local awareness. You become aware that all the ups and downs of life, they're still ups and downs. And you might still experience a lot of emotional ups and downs in response to the ups and downs of the world. But that's all happening in this, it's all arising in this enormous spaciousness of your being. And consciousness itself, which is who you now recognize yourself to be, isn't affected by even the strongest emotional response you could have, even the most upsetting life circumstance you could have doesn't affect consciousness. That doesn't mean that you aren't affected as a person. What we're talking about is, okay, you as a human being going through your life, experiencing all the things we experience, the highs, the lows, and then having an emotional life that corresponds to that. You experience joys and delights and happiness and love, and you experience grief and loss and sadness and pain and suffering, and all of that is going on emotionally, but now it's going on inside a person who's discovered themselves to be this infinite consciousness that's unaffected by all of that. So see, what we often have a hard time is we then think, oh, that means I won't feel bad anymore. Great, I'm discovering the infinite consciousness that's unaffected by things of this world, and now I don't have to suffer as a person because I'm just above it all. None of it matters. Well, none of it matters to me. We have a hard time imagining this without it ending up in a place that's like, none of it matters to me because now I've discovered the infinite. But what I'm trying to help us hold is, no, as a person, you're still a person going through your life. Things matter to you tremendously. They'll cause you great upset. All of it, the whole range of, and even more of the range of the human experience, frankly. And so if you're really able to be equanimous, you will, that means you'll have the steadiness and inner strength to feel more, right? We're all aware that we hear about people who are cut off, shut down. We use these metaphors, cut off emotionally, shut down emotionally, dissociated from our experience, repressing, suppressing. What is all of that? It says, strong feelings, intensity are unbearable to the psyche, so I keep them out of my awareness, one way or another, simply, shorthand. Some version of that. That's what it means to be cut off, dissociated, shut down, etc. I got to keep my emotions at bay because I can't handle them. But we become an equanimous, awake, conscious presence. And we become rooted in that which isn't subject to the ups and downs. It's not affected by them. Now we can feel it all. We don't need to shut down. We don't need to dissociate. We don't need to repress, suppress anything. We can include it all. We're so big. We're so vast. We can include it all. And there's one more piece to this that I want to meditate on a little bit, which is the metaphor of strength. Because just as letting go can bring us equanimity, just as being still can bring us equanimity, just as this spaciousness and this depth can bring us equanimity, discovering a source of kind of unshakable inner strength is also a source of profound equanimity. And I'm not talking about a strength that we build. Normally, when we think about strength, we think, I'm going to do hard things, I'm going to lift weights, do resistance training in order to get strong physically. And sometimes we think, well, life, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So, when we go through a lot of hardships in life, we cultivate inner strength. We become someone who's capable of withstanding hardship without falling apart. Again, it's built through challenge. But the inner strength I'm pointing to is not that one, even though that one is real and really counts for something. But I'm talking about that there is this indestructible essence to us. Who and what you are is a strong, indestructible essence. When we let go of the surface reactivity and we allow ourselves to get in touch with that deep stillness, to become anchored in this vast spaciousness, to find that easefulness that can allow everything. We're making room for the discovery of this, what's been called our true nature. And this true nature, this who and what we really are, is not, it's not weakened by the events of life. It's not eroded by difficulty. It's a kind of indestructible, strong, it's been called, like, you know, compared in some of the Buddhist texts to a diamond, you know, as hard as a diamond, strong, you know, indestructible. And so I want to invite you to just rest in your indestructible essence in whatever way you can access that. Letting yourself recognize and be that which is not diminished by pain, by difficulty, by challenge. Just feel that strength, our own indestructible essence.
If the approach to meditation we've been exploring today inspires you, you are invited to tune into a 90-minute online workshop Craig will be hosting called Meditation 2.0, The Miracle of Direct Awakening. In the workshop, he'll share a powerful new approach to meditation practice and guide you in a series of brief meditation experiments so you can experience it for yourself. You can listen to that at freemeditationworkshop.com. That's freemeditationworkshop.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, we hope you'll share our show with others. And please subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to your favorite shows. If you have a minute to write a short review on your podcast app, we would deeply appreciate your support. You can stay connected to the show by subscribing to our newsletter at meditationchangeseverything.com. Each week, we'll send you new audios and videos from Craig, and we'll also let you know when we release new episodes of the show. For a deeper experience of Craig's approach to meditation, consider joining our Awakened Life membership program. Each month, you'll receive in-depth teachings and guidance, including a meditation workshop, 4 guided meditations, and a live online retreat with Craig. And when you register today, you can receive your first month for 50% off. Go to awakenedlifemembership.com to learn more and enroll. That's awakenedlifemembership.com. Check out our show notes for links to all the ways you can stay in touch with Craig's work. Meditation Changes Everything is created by Craig Hamilton, Susan Fries, Mason Ewald, Stephanie Murphy, Will Bowman, and Richard Klein. From all of us, thank you for tuning in.